Welcome to the Jimbo Podcast, where you can find all your favorite Jimbo Show content in one place. Interviews, prank calls, bits, and a whole lot more. And now, here's your host, Jimbo.
All right, it's another Jimbo Podcast, and I want to share with you guys a special series I did with my brother. We're in a band called The Surrealers. We've been there for a while now. Back in the 90s, mid-90s, we released an album called No More Milk, which you can find on all streaming services. And you spell the name S-U-R-R-E-A-L-T-O-R-S, just in case you're looking at the streaming sites and want to check us out. But we did, my brother George and I, we did a series of shows where we kind of took the music and took the influences of our childhood since we grew up together, and we kind of broke down different things, and it was quite interesting. We were able to play a song from one of our albums to show you the influence that particular pop culture moment or album or TV show had. So here it is. The Jimbo Podcast presents the series that we're running the next few weeks, The Surrealters On.
Welcome to The Surrealters On. On this episode, George and Jim talk about the Beach Boys album, Pet Sounds.
All right, I am Jim, and George is on the line. George?
I'm here on the coronavirus version of The Realtors On.
Yeah, so George is at a remote location, and I'm at the home base right now, but we're here to talk about the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds on this edition of The Surrealers On. Thank you guys for listening to the previous episodes. We've had a great time doing this. And Pet Sounds, of course, this is a much-discussed album, and we do appreciate you listening because, you know, we know a lot of people have talked about this album, but we want to bring our own focus into it because we kind of come from a different background. George, when was the first time you heard about the Pet Sounds album?
Well, I was familiar with, the song Sloop John B. and Wouldn't It Be Nice, because they were hits, but it really wasn't until the mid-80s when HBO was playing that Beach Boys documentary. I forget what it's called. I think it might be called Made in America or something like that. And they kind of delved into a lot of the Pet Sounds. And so I went out and bought the vinyl record because I don't think it even had a CD player at that time. And it quickly became one of my favorite albums. So much so that it seems like every time they release one now, and I don't know why, but I get it because I think I'm going to hear something different. So I have probably 5 or 6 different versions of it. I think I have 2 or 3 vinyls. I think I have 4 or 5 CDs. And plus I got that big box set that just has the vocals on it.
Well, I mean, that's the beauty of streaming too. A lot of these collector's editions end up on the streaming sites where you don't have to buy it all. Before, you'd actually have to go to the store and buy those big giant $50 packages, which is good for a record collector if you want. I know Smile came with a whole storefront where it opened up and you got all the extras. And like you said, Pet Sounds has had numerous 40th anniversary, 25th anniversary. I remember in 1990, the actual year when they finally put the Beach Boys out on CD, this was a big deal. I mean, all the albums were a big deal, but the albums were so short that they end up putting them both on, what, like one CD or something like that?
Yeah, they didn't do that. The only one they did not do that with was Pet Sounds. That came out separately on its own. But yeah, all the other ones were like dual CDs because those songs that they had were so short that it seemed like, to me, it would seem like kind of a waste to pay $11-$12 for like, 25 minutes of music. So Capitol did that in the beginning, and then they got smart and they stopped doing it. But I think they went back to it later on, later on, maybe in the early 2000s, they did that again. But Pet Sounds was the only one that was stood on its own.
Yeah, so because they had so many extras too, they also, you have the take with the alternate vocals of Hang On to Your Ego and, I Know There's an Answer. But the album, we're in a band, as you know, we listen to The Surrealers On, and we always talk about vocals. The Beach Boys always comes up. Even this album is a reference, like, oh, like they did on Pet Sounds. Talk about, starting an album greatly with Wouldn't It Be Nice, and you just get this barrage of vocals just hitting you in the face.
Oh, I know. It's just, it's an unbelievable It's unbelievable that those vocals came from the mind of one person, but they did, Brian Wilson. And, you know, the way that he could meld those voices together. And then I had read stories when he's in the studio. I mean, he can hear when one guy's specifically off.
Yeah.
And that's just really amazing because, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell when you're off yourself, but then when you can tell somebody's off and that where they need to go, it's a talent that few of us have. And, you're right. Wouldn't it be nice? It just slaps you right in the face and then just goes from there to,
You still believe in me. Now, think about this is like you said, you only knew the hits. I only knew the hits. So back in the days, you go straight to the hits and listen to it. But if you let this thing play, you see the quality of the music with You Still Believe in Me. That's Not Me. Don't Talk, Put Your Head on My Shoulder. It just goes to get to the next hit. You're getting all these great songs that have all this kind of richness to them. I'm Waiting for the Day. Let's Go Away for a While, which is the instrumental. And then you get to finally get back to Sloop John B. and then God Only Knows back to back. So
yeah, that You Still Believe in Me, when he does that I Want to Cry line, I have tried and tried and tried to hold that note that he holds, and I still can't do it. I don't know how he does it in that register where he's singing. Is truly amazing. That song and Caroline No might actually be my two favorites on that album because the vocal performance on You Still Believe in Me is absolutely incredible.
And of course, a lot of people called it the greatest song of all time, greatest love song of all time, which was a risk at the time to mention God in the lyrics with God Only Knows. It's been covered by Bowie. I mean, you hear it still today in music. And, you know, I've heard the version with Brian singing. It's just something about Carl Wilson singing that song that is just amazing.
Carl Wilson, the unsung hero of the Beach Boys, probably has the best voice in the whole band. Yeah, you're right. I'm glad that Brian decided to let him do the vocals on that because that was truly amazing. You know, God Only Knows, the first time I ever heard that song was done by Neil Diamond.
Oh, wow.
On that album, I forget what it's called. I think it's called I'm Glad You're Here Tonight or something like that. The one with Desiree on it. And I was like, wow, this is a pretty good song. So when I heard the Beach Boys do it, I'm like, wow, they covered a Neil Diamond song.
God yeah, only so, knows what I'd do without you.
You should listen to his. His is pretty good, too, because it's kind of a slower version. But he does a good job, too. But those are the only two versions I've really heard. In fact, you were talking about how people have said it's the greatest song of all time. Adam Levine was on Howard Stern the other day. He said that and In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel, he thinks are the two greatest songs of all time.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has. I mean, 1966 to today, I think everybody knows what that song is, and that's quite a testament to it. But to listen to the whole thing in it's all together, you know, you get a whole experience. I think when you get to I Just Wasn't Made for These Times, you know, you get this kind of, you know, he's a genius and he's not appreciated. And, you know, obviously he's battling the Beatles at the time. Beatles sometimes get more publicity than he is. The Beatles less bubblegum. Maybe he feels like he's a little bit estranged from, you know, what rock critics are thinking is great music, you know?
Well, it's funny because he puts this album out, right? And the Beatles are like, wow, he just put this thing out. So they put out Sgt. Pepper's and he's like all depressed because he thinks Sgt. Pepper's is better than Pet Sounds. So he tries to put out Smile. And as we all know, that didn't work at the time. But just the level of competition from all of those guys is what made these all of these albums, Sgt. Pepper and of course Pet Sounds, some of the greatest albums ever.
And the rate of release is a lot different too. I mean, the Beatles only lasted what, about 10 years and, you know, less than that. And just the music they fit into that time period. Same with the Beach Boys releasing something every 3 months, something new. You don't see that today. You haven't seen that in a while where people just kind of constantly release music, even though that forum is there for people to do it through now to do it a lot easier to do it themselves. It just seems like it the pressure to do it and come up with these great songs is pretty amazing.
When you look at Brian Wilson's output from the first Beach Boys album through Pet Sounds, we could just end it there. Mind-boggling. Yeah, I mean, same with the Beatles. If you take it from Revolver to Abbey Road, it's mind-boggling, the songs. But the funny thing about Brian Wilson, or the different thing about Brian Wilson to the Beatles, is it was basically just Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
you had Lennon and McCartney and you had Harrison, but it was just Brian Wilson. And having it, you know, that whole output of having to put out that stuff and make it great and having all that pressure, that might have driven him crazy. Who knows?
Well, the Reconstructive Smile that they put out a couple years ago, the Smile Sessions, if that's what the album was, it was pretty amazing the way they reconstructed. Even his solo version was great, but to hear the Beach Boys reconstruct they did, and that's probably a separate show that we do on that particular album.
That album is phenomenal.
So much to discuss there. But as far as you know, writing music and influencing what songs you do or how you play, how do you think this album did it for you?
I think it really, you know, I would sing along to it. I think it's probably made me a better singer. It's made me think more about backing vocals and what they mean, and harmony and what that means and how to do that. Probably better than anybody else, you know, that I've followed.
I think you're right, though. I think backing vocals when you're in the studio, when we first started, you know, doing the band thing, backing vocals were like, oh, let's just jump on the mic and you just do a bunch of yeah, yeahs and you do that and we'll be good. Clap your hands or whatever. This just took backing vocals to an entire new level. I mean, you got the Louie backing vocals is a lot different than what they were doing with this, which was, you know, pretty much like the Four Freshmen, like the stuff he liked. He was doing, and it kind of changed the whole. I mean, you look at Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, it kind of changed the whole background vocals strategy after this.
Yeah, it's funny because you know how we've seen in different movies and shows how the Beach Boys just didn't get this record. The rest of them didn't get it, especially Mike Love just didn't get it. And it wasn't, you know, this album is legendary, but when it came out, it wasn't that popular. It was probably their least popular record.
Well, they wanted Surfin'. Surfin' is the one. I mean, they wanted more Surfin' stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's what, you know, Capitol famously, like you said in the movies, oh, where's the surf songs? You know, that whole thing.
Exactly. And that's what Mike Love was wanting to do. He was just going to keep churning that stuff out. And for Brian Wilson to go this route, you know, with, I mean, even on this record, we talk about vocals, but he's got two great instrumentals in Let's Go Away for a While, and the song called Pet Sounds is phenomenal. And I don't know, you and I saw him live back in the early 2000s, and when those guys played Pet Sounds live, it was pretty, pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, his band definitely took the time, and this is the same band who did the Smile video too. They took the time to get everything right down to the last ring of a triangle or the bike horn at the end of one of the songs too. They got it all in place.
Yeah, and I think this album just taught me that backing vocals done right really, really enhance the whole experience of listening to a song, and that's what this album did for me.
Well, yeah, like I said, it definitely changed it for me. Also, hearing what can be done just vocally. I mean, you can play note for note on a guitar, but that human voice really is an amazing instrument, and the things that can be done with it dynamically, we see on this record.
You know, the very first CD release of this, which was in 1990, at the very end, there's a backing vocal track was last probably about 20 seconds where Brian hits this high note and I've tried to hold it and there's just no way. I miss it by like 8 seconds and he holds it out and then he goes, okay, or something like that. And then the whole band comes in with the harmony
Yeah.
It just blows you away. And if you get a chance to listen to that, if they have it where you can stream it, I don't know if they do, but that box set where you can just listen to the vocals, I think they have the vocals and the instrumentals, but just the vocals on some of those CDs is really, really amazing.
So, yeah, definitely look into all the possible collections of this one. And we'll be talking about more about the Beach Boys. We'll be talking about the solo albums. I know I want to do a show on definitely on the Dennis Wilson album and
absolutely.
Know, and Smile and much, much more. What song do you think, backing vocal-wise from us, do you think kind of captures that kind of Beach Boys, Beatles background vocal thing?
I think probably the best one for us is a song called Pageantry, which is on... we did it when we were a trio and we did it as a duo. So it's actually on both of our, album releases. There's just a lot of that Beach Boys type stuff, in the backing vocals for that tune. So if I had to pick one, I think it would be Pageantry probably.
Okay. Here it is. Pageantry, us, the Cerulators from our album, No More Milk. You could stream it on all the sites. In fact, probably the site you're listening to this podcast on, you can stream this and all of our albums, including No More Milk and Think of a Different Time. So here's Pageantry. There it is, Pageantry by the Cerulators here on Cerulators On as we wrap up our Pet Sounds special. Any final words about Pet Sounds, George?
Definitely in my top five, probably top three albums of all time.
Okay, I agree with that too. And till next time, we sure appreciate you listening. And also, you can check out us on Facebook at facebook.com/thecerulators. If you have any, want to get to us about the show, any ideas, or want to just talk to us, or book us for a gig here if you're in the Houston area, thecerulatorsband@gmail.com. You can do that also. So there you go. I've said my final goodbyes. George, go ahead with your official closing of the show.
All right, in the words of the great Jack Buck, we thank you for your time this time. Until next time, so long.